welcome everybody to episode 20 of Pod Between Worlds. I'm your host Steve, alongside host Ollie, and today we're going to be talking about more Mandalorian stuff. Today we're going to break down chapter 12, right? Yeah, chapter 12. Well, this is bad. I'm butchering this. So
episode four breakdown. Season 2, chapter 12. Yes.
Yeah. Episode, yeah, whatever. So, yeah, we're going to break that down. We're also going to do some more theory crafting, termed by Ollie. So, coming in hot. So, we got the new episode that came out last night, or yesterday, I should say. Mm-hmm. The Siege. And, you know, we got some surprise appearances that finally came to fruition, and the plot got pushed a little bit further. So what was your overall thoughts on the episode? I know that this was a big one for you, because this answers some of your questions that we had at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so I would say last episode answered more questions. This episode was just kind of like a pat on the back to me for guessing that theory, which I thought had a lot of evidence, but obviously the way Star Wars goes, you never really know if it's gonna, you know what I mean, pan out. Mm-hmm. And obviously we still have a long way to go. It's, you know, it's the very basic, my theory has been proved to a super basic level, right? I went into depth in a video, so I have, there's still a lot of things I can be wrong about, but it certainly now is heading in that direction. It seems as though at the very least some of the cloning, maybe basic research and what they were trying to do, seems to have started with Gideon, that we saw in Rise of Skywalker, right? Yeah. I think that's fair to say at this point. Now, there hasn't been a direct link to Palpatine yet. I mean, I think it's definitely hinting at that, but there very well could be just a thing that Gideon took this over and was fascinated with it, and maybe we find out later after Gideon gets defeated or something, Palpatine picks up the research from there. You know what I mean? That's still a possibility. Mm-hmm. So the rest of my theory could still be kind of wash, but I think it's looking good. I will say to that effect, and we'll get into some of the stuff a little bit, the one thing that I didn't have a ton of experience with, like we talk about a lot, like I have a lot of Legends knowledge from reading books and stuff like that, and we played a lot of the video games. I didn't play a lot of Jedi Academy, or the one with, is it Jedi Academy, the one with Kyle Katarn?
I believe,
or is that
so,
Jedi, yeah. Forces, like I played almost all of them, but I wasn't a grinder in that, like I didn't play a lot of hours of that.
I didn't either. I kind of so just that's ran through it
at the end with Gideon, with those like black statuesque robot looking things. Supposedly that's a playoff of Dark Troopers, and it does look like it after I saw a lightened up photo. And I was relatively familiar with Dark Troopers, like, because again, I played the game and I've read about it, but it's not, I'm certainly not an expert. I didn't play much of it, you know what I mean, and I'm not obsessed with that time period.
It's Jedi Academy.
Okay,
yeah.
So, but that was really interesting because that's more Legends stuff, which is awesome, right? And maybe I'm thinking this could be kind of all, I think for me, it was super exciting going forward because I was kind of getting to the point where I didn't know where we were going with Ahsoka and Bo-Katan and the Mandalorian, and we're just going to have them all fight against this Imperial remnant. Like, it seemed too small for what they were building towards. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, it seems like if Bo-Katan and even if it was just those other two Mandalorians, and then Din, and if they find any other Mandalorians, and then you got Greef Karga and Cara Dune, and the New Republic's kind of floating around, and Ahsoka Tano is going to be added in, it seemed like the odds were stacked against Gideon a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously, he could be bigger than we think. But this makes it interesting to me, because if these things are really deadly, and if they're really deadly combined with being not really known, like, that's kind of the thing, right? You bring something to battle that's deadly, but also has no research on it, so no one knows how to fight it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's interesting to me. It'll be really fascinating to see how these get brought to bear. Do they go after Navarro? Is this an attack on the New Republic? Like, where does he go with these? And what are they? Because I did do a little bit of research. I read into Dark Troopers a little bit just to get my knowledge increased and also touched up upon. And basically,
you're saying Darth Troopers, not Dark Death Troopers,
not Death Dark.
Okay, Dark Troopers. Okay, mm-hmm. So
and they were originally so basically, the lore on them is that this guy, I had his name. But it's like kind of similar to Rom Koda, who was the guy from, who was the Jedi from the Starkiller games.
Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was this general from the Imperials that basically put together this program at the end of like the Clone Wars. He kind of was like, it was like they took clones who were like getting decommissioned and getting older. And this was like the original, I think this was called phase zero of the Dark Trooper program. And they basically like cybernetically enhanced them. But like there were like a lot of suicides and stuff because they like were kind of forced into it. And they basically woke up and they were like 70% machine and only 30% human still. So like it sounds like kind of like a fucking Frankenstein kind of freakish kind of thing. Almost like the Fizengor stuff from Last Shot. Anyway, so this is Legends. So let me be clear. I'm giving the background on Dark Troopers and kind of what we may expect. Then there was like phase. So there's three phases, right? There was phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one was like basically this like battle droid, if you will, right? Kind of souped up. And the big thing was they were using like Frick. Frick metal was what they were using, this alloy or metallic substance that basically made the armor out of, that was really resistant to like lightsabers and blaster bolts. So that's why they were super dangerous. Phase two was like the most popular version of the game. I think that's what you mostly see in the game. They were just kind of souped up versions of the phase one, and they were kind of the assembly line. I think that's what you take out basically as Kyle Katarn. You kind of found out about these in the game and you like take out the base. It was on like a huge floating like dreadnought class ship that was pretty cool. I think it was called the Arc Hammer. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and then there was a phase three, and the thing that's interesting about phase three, because this is where I find it interesting with the Gideon thing, is that phase three was both a, how they pitch it was like it was both a battle droid in sense, so it could work on its own just like the phase two, and it was a little souped up from the phase two, but it was also an exoskeleton that like a person could drive it, if you will. It's almost like a mech that could work on its own. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you could also put like a human or you could put a living being in it to drive it. So that's where I think it's interesting, because I wonder if they're basically taking that Legends data and stories and lore, and if they're combining it all and going kind of like the cloning started, maybe it's Palpatine, maybe it's not, but also Gideon maybe is using that to put in these Death Trooper thing or Dark Trooper things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe he rides one, and it'll be interesting. I'll read more about that general too on a later episode, just to see if maybe they're basing some of Gideon's character off of him, which would be also interesting. But I don't want to go for like 50 minutes, but just to give you a little background, because I didn't know a ton about them either. I just knew what they kind of look like. And so that's what we think we saw at the end there, which should add an interesting little wrinkle to this whole Gideon thing. Because now if he's got these super battle droids / exosuits, it definitely ups the game from a bunch of stormtroopers. You know what I mean?
So, okay. So I've looked into it a little bit. I just pulled it up again because yep.
From Wikipedia, by the way. And again, it's Legends. It's from a video game, so obviously there's different outcomes in video games and shit. So
but it does say there's they were shown in another video game that's considered canon. No, that's what I was reading. Star Wars Commander, and that's part of Disney too. So I don't know.
What is Star Wars Commander?
It was a mobile game. It was actually, it just got shut down this year. I didn't even.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never played it, but it says they were in that. They were in that first. So I don't, it says phase two Dark Troopers were in there.
Oh, I did. I played this when it came out.
Yeah.
It was almost like a, like a cheap version of, it was like a mobile version of like a StarCraft kind of thing where you like defended a base kind of deal. So they must have been a unit in there is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
oh, well, there you go. Cool.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
So yeah. So maybe that, it, maybe he took that, could be carried by blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So maybe he took that. This was the phase two. So maybe his is the phase three. That would make even more sense, right? That phase two already existed and that he's upgrading these. My thing is, I wouldn't be shocked. I think at this point it may be cool if he has like a version of it himself. And that's what he uses to fight Ahsoka Tano. So now he's like, may not be force sensitive, but now he uses kind of a mech suit. So he's like, he gets some superhuman abilities. You know what I mean? And he uses the Darksaber with it. That's what I'm hoping. But even if they're just his little army, I think it adds an interesting twist to just having legions of stormtroopers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the, well, yeah, yeah. Yep. I agree.
But these guys, the little graphic, it does look like the graphic I can see. It's the only picture I can find. It does kind of look like the face of them, even though the you didn't get a like a clear shot of them. You know what I mean? It was kind of like somebody lightened up the picture and you still could only see like a profile shot. So it'll be interesting because they did kind of look like this. They almost have like a Vader-y kind of face. You know what I mean? In the show, it looked like it had like that, almost like that triangle mask.
See, it reminded me more of Fallen Order, the second sister. A little bit.
Oh, because of the like the helmet that's like winged out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's also a Vader thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, but I digress. We went off. I went off a little bit on that. But yeah, my overall theory about Gideon working with Palpatine, that seems to be at least at the base level, heading in the right direction because obviously we saw those kind of like clone looking bodies experiment things. Also, he mentioned that that's what they use the child's DNA for. So that part of the theory lines up. And I thought the bodies, and I saw a couple pictures of freeze frames and some lightened images and stuff like that and enhanced images. And they do look a little Snoke-ish. I mean, but Snoke was just a mess anyway. So I don't think it's Snoke himself, but I think they're hinting. I mean, they're clearly hinting it. You know what I mean? I think we can agree on that. But yeah, so I'm pumped. I'm pumped to see that. Obviously that... that was really cool. That for me personally, that helped the episode a lot because I'm super into that theory and I thought it moved. I thought it added a lot. So while I liked episode three, that was Bo-Katan, right? Episode three. Mm-hmm. I liked that one more. It added a little bit of the background, which I thought was really neat. These were two different things, right? The Bo-Katan episode answered a lot of questions, right? I know we got some more because she's going to explain more, but it answered a lot of like, why is Din kind of weird about the helmet off? Why didn't we see that in the past? Because if you're into canon and you've seen other Mandalorians, he doesn't really match up with them. So that answered some questions and obviously got us excited for what more we could see with other Mandalorians and Bo-Katan's future and everything like that. This one, I feel like, brought up a lot of questions. As much as I've detailed my theory and what I think will happen, I think for the majority of people, and even me included, because, you know, I still had, like I said, I had a lot of pieces to this theory. Now we're into the meat and potatoes of it, or we're going to. This was like, you know what I mean? This was the appetizer. It's like, we do have cloning going on. That is what Baby Yoda's DNA was look like. It looks eerily like Snoke. Could he know Palpatine survived? We now have Dark Troopers and this whole cybernetic thing going on. Like, it added a lot of questions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward. So I thought it was good, you know, a lot of action. I almost wish sometimes, this was my one, I would say my one complaint. I think sometimes, and this is show and movie independent, so they can all do their own thing. But when you set up the Mandalorians last episode as badasses and they just rip through a ship full of stormtroopers, right? That looked badass. And you're like, wow, as much as we're not, again, from all the Star Wars media, we're not like super intimidated by stormtroopers, but at the same time, they just took over an entire ship, just four of them, right? So like, that was impressive. I feel like sometimes, like, then this episode comes along, and I know Cara Dune was a shock trooper and everything, but Greef Karga's like, was it what, disgraced magistrate, and he's like, he's a little bit of like a bounty hunter, but not really. And then you got the Mithril guy that's clearly not anything, and they also rip through a base of stormtroopers. I just feel like sometimes you could have had the same effect, but maybe instead of every time they fought them, they just like held them off and ran, as opposed to killing 97 stormtroopers, the four of them. You know what I mean? Because to me, it cheapens a little bit of what the Mandalorians did. I'd rather have the Mandalorians wreck the stormtroopers, right? And then this group shoot a few and win in the end, like shut down the base, but have them do more running and retreating and kind of having to do stuff on the fly instead of just running over them. Does that make sense? It's a small nitpick. It didn't bother me a bunch, but that's just one of the things that I think it makes what Bo-Katan and them did look a little less impressive, because everyone's just running over stormtroopers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was cooler what they did with the speeder chase. I thought that was neat, because it very much felt like they were on the defensive there and needed Din to come in at the end and save them, right? Like they were it kind of felt like their wick was running out there, like when the TIE fighters were coming in. So I thought that was well done. But overall, I mean, there was a lot of action. I thought the thing with Cara Dune and the New Republic thing at the end was cool, where she got like the medal and he was like, you know, we could always use you. I thought that was neat. I thought it was well acted. I know she's not like known yet as an actress fully, you know what I mean? Like for her acting prowess, it's more of like her physicality, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. But I thought her acting at the end there, her whole facial expression was really good. I thought it was well done.
I mean, she was in Deadpool, so I mean, she's getting out there.
Not saying she's not acting. I'm saying she's not known as like this great actor yet. You know what I mean? And I thought, and a lot of the scenes they give her is just like in Deadpool, for example, she's just like, she just beats everybody up. There's not a ton of like dialogue and stuff. And obviously this show's different, where she does talk a lot and they're building her character. So I thought that was well done. And I thought, you know, and I liked Greef Karga and the Baby Yoda comic, because it's, you know, comic relief is always funny too. With him stealing the cookies from the kids. So what did you, that's my overall thoughts. But so I thought it was good. I'd probably put it number two, right up there. Episode one was fun, but it didn't do anything for me. And this one added way more to the story, and I thought was just almost equally as fun. So they're close together. Maybe my theory being proven kind of right, it pushes this one over for me. So it's more of a bias thing. But I still think episode three reigns supreme right now.
Okay.
So sorry, I talked too long. What do you got?
No, it's fine. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a solid episode. A lot of the same things that you said. I mean, visually, again, it looks fantastic. This cinematography with just the fighting scenes and, you know, the chase in the canyon and all that stuff. I mean, it looks amazing. Every episode looks amazing in that sense. So
Ben's a good pilot too, huh? Damn.
Yeah.
That fighting scene was cool. It was quick, but.
Yeah. No, overall, it was a good episode. I don't have too much to add to that, I don't think, because you pretty much covered everything. I thought, I had a whole thing in my head, and now I kind of lost it on that. But, I thought it was nice to see Cara Dune. I thought, I actually thought the first scene that she shows up, I thought that was actually a better scene compared to when they're trying to get away from the stormtroopers initially out of the base. I thought that fight scene was way better.
Which one?
The very first scene where you see Cara Dune, when she like goes into where the armor
stuff is. With the Aqualish and okay, yeah.
Yeah. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, she clearly, they utilize her MMA stuff, her jujitsu stuff.
Like, body slammed one of them.
Yeah, but you could see like they definitely utilize that, which is really cool. So I love that about her character. And then Yeah, Grief Karga. I mean, it was all, yeah, he's good, but you know,
he's been consistent. I'm not a huge fan of his character. His character is kind of whatever, but
yeah, it's kind of vanilla in a way. The only thing I thought was interesting was not telling the New Republic about anything they saw, but at the same time, I could see why. Trying to think what else.
Oh, we didn't even mention the spy. I did notice that. When did you notice that the Mimbunny's spy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew right away.
Yeah, right away. He did that weird like look back. It was almost too obvious, and I was like, "What was that?" I should have been able to predict the tracker. That is like such a used trope in Star Wars. Like that's how, if anything, you're like, "All right, how do we connect two people? All right, make them put a tracker on that guy's thing." It's like, "Oh, I should have fucking known that."
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Because I was wondering how they're going to connect Gideon and Din in the end, right? I also thought it was interesting to give you like a lead. I don't know if this is what you were thinking of. They confirmed in this episode they all thought he was dead. I didn't put that together in my head. Like I thought they, I didn't think they thought he was alive necessarily, but I figured like if his tie crashes, you would have gone and checked it out for some reason.
No, they didn't.
But they just they thought he was dead. They didn't even. Like, it wasn't even a question. It's not like, oh, maybe you survived. No, they were like, Gideon has to be dead in that little, when they saw Dr. Pershing sending the message or whatever. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I guess kind of, you know,
I think that was a missed opportunity, though, at the same time, because they didn't really. Well, they didn't like, so it was kind of like off the cuff in a way. It wasn't really like a, oh, shit, he's alive. What the fuck? Like, it was kind of like, oh, he's alive. Like.
Well, that was exactly the reaction. It was, shit. Din literally was like, I got to get back and get the child. He like freaked out and left.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I thought there was going to be more to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but he went to get the child because he didn't know where he was. It didn't necessarily mean that he was on the planet. He was just like, oh shit, I just got to get the child. That's all he.
Well, he was freaking out. Yeah, because Gideon's alive, so he's still looking for the child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas they thought Gideon was dead, so him leaving, his mission was just to go find a place for the child. He didn't think he was still really being hunted heavily, you know?
Yeah. Well,
which kind of makes a little more sense to his whole demeanor in the first couple episodes, where he's just kind of, all right, I'll go to Tatooine. All right, I'll go here. You know what I mean? Because if he was being chased, it'd be a little different if he thought Gideon was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I just thought it was interesting because I didn't put that together that they literally all thought he was dead 100%. I thought that maybe there was lingering thoughts or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I guess I wasn't too surprised at that though, because just because, you know, they didn't look and they didn't confirm it or anything. So they saw the TIE fighter freaking crash. So they just assumed that, you know, he bit the dust and he didn't.
That makes me wonder if it would have been an interesting scene. Moved up to Bo-Katan, because if he heard her saying that and then he was like, nah, Gideon's dead, I killed him, and then she's like, what, you killed him? Wouldn't that have been interesting?
I think that adds a little bit more.
They're gonna play it down the line, I know, but like I feel like that would have been an interesting, like if she says, does Gideon have it, and then Din was like, dude, I killed Gideon, and then she's like, no, you didn't, or didn't know, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. You'd think that
would cut. I'm sure there's a scene down the line that it makes sense in, but.
Right. I mean, yeah, we'll see. Trying to think what else with this episode. Actually, I didn't. I mean, the school Baby Yoda thing was kind of, you know, it was funny, but
yeah.
I kind of didn't care for him in this episode, and I don't think Baby Yoda was. Yeah, it was just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
He only really had three scenes, right? The beginning where he's trying to help Din fix the thing, and he plugs the wrong thing in. He stole the kids' cookies, and then he's like on a roller coaster ride when Din's fighting, like jumping up and down, and then he pukes. Like, so he wasn't really in it that much.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know.
He was 100% comic relief in this one. Like, he had no other. Yeah.
Yeah. So, trying to think what else with this. Like I said, I had a whole summary in my head and it kind of just got thrown away. So, overall, it was a good episode. I actually liked the first episode more than this one.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it is a little bit interesting that it seems like every episode there's like he goes to a planet and then he ends up taking a job.
Yeah, I'm saying, it's like the video game thing. It's like very, my main quest weird. And I always get sent to the next person.
Yeah.
And that person gives me my own quest that I need to do to then get it's like it's 100% an RPG. This show is an RPG.
Yeah.
It's just all task based.
I mean,
save the princess. All right, you got to pick these apples for me. Like, and then you got to go here, and then you got to go here. It's almost
There's nothing. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but at the same time, it does get a little bit repetitive.
It's almost heavy-handed at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of like
literally every episode.
Yeah,
in the first 10 minutes, it's like, all right, but you got to help me with my mission. Like literally, that line is said every time.
Yeah, like the first episode, I guess even the first episode was like that. So, but it was a little bit different at the same time because it was like he saw the armor. He was looking for the Mandalorian and then sees the armor. He's like,
right. I mean, he could have just killed him.
Yeah, he could have too. Yeah, if he was a douchebag. I don't think,
I mean, but every episode, you're exactly right. Cobb goes, all right, I'll give it to you if you help me kill the Krayt Dragon. Okay. Episode 2. Hey, can you, we know where Mandalorians are, but you need to bring this lady to her husband and he'll show you where the Mandalorians are and you can't go in hyperspace. Fuck. Okay. Boom. They do it. Episode 3. You think that one's the one that you're not going to have to do a mission because you're finally completing the one from episode 2.
Yeah.
Mandalorians come in. Hey, you want to know where the Jedi is? I'll tell you. Help us with our mission. Okay. Episode 4. Hey, I'm here to fix my ship. Well, your ship's going to take a couple days to fix. But you're going to help us with the mission. Okay.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what Ahsoka does. All right, you got to help me with this mission. We got to find Thrawn and Ezra.
See, but that's the thing I'm kind of getting at is that I hope it doesn't just keep going.
I don't think maybe, it can. Ahsoka's going to give him a mission? No. Like, she's going to become... I think now it's going to be unraveled in something. Because technically, this is kind of the... If you were following the Baby Yoda arc, obviously they're going to throw a wrench in it. He's not just going to show up, give Ahsoka the thing, and give Ahsoka the child, and she's going to walk away. That's not what's going to happen. But
right.
This is the end of that mission, right? Or at least this is the first part of that mission that he actually accomplishes.
Right.
Right? We found the Jedi. That's who I'm supposed to bring the child to. Now, obviously, there's going to be a wrench in it. I'm not a Jedi. Maybe we bring him to Luke, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, there's going to be another part, but I think the whole, like, hey, I'll lead you to the next step, but you got to help me do this, I think that's over right now.
I think the biggest thing to me is that you've had this buildup for the last season and a half, pretty much, of let's keep the child away from the Empire.
Right.
That's pretty much that's the overarching plot. We're getting to that point now where it's like you can't keep...
Right.
Something's got to give.
That's why I think he's
finally got a taste of it. Yeah. I think
he's gone at the end of the season. And I think he's going to show up in the child. I think he's going with Ahsoka or Luke or like, I think that's the end of the season is the end of Mando taking daddy daycare. Like, I think the child's going somewhere else for the future.
I think they're going to have to. I think you're right. And I think this episode gave a glimpse.
Yeah.
I think he gave a glimpse because he actually leaves him behind. So it's kind of like, shit, he's actually doing that. So that's like, maybe it's foreshadowing to a couple episodes from now. We're going to go.
Yeah, I think we know Ahsoka's going to be a little bit more involved. You know, there's going to be a lightsaber battle we heard. So we'll be figuring that's Ahsoka. But I think like at the end of the season, I'm like conflicted because my thoughts going forward are I'm pretty sure we're gonna have like an Ahsoka Gideon fight at some point.
Absolutely gonna have to.
But the whole like Bo-Katan and Mandalore thing, I feel like maybe that's I don't know which one's gonna be the like I feel like that's the plot for the end of the season. I feel like they're gonna do something with Mandalore, or maybe it's simpler than that. Maybe the whole Mandalore thing is going to happen in season 3. The whole point of season 2 is going to be getting the Darksaber back for Bo-Katan, and then they're going to take back Mandalore. So maybe that's how we involve Ahsoka. Ahsoka gets the child and then goes, all right, well, I got to help Bo-Katan do that. You know what I mean? And maybe it all kind of comes to a head, and then they beat Gideon, get the Darksaber, and then season 3 maybe is like taking back Mandalore.
Because
who has Mandalore right now? I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You would figure it's under New Republic jurisdiction at this point, right? 5 years later. It's not super like Outer Rim. I mean, it's not like Inner Rim.
It's, but it was in the middle of the Empire shit show, though. And where it is in the universe, it was definitely in the middle of all that crap.
What do you mean all the crap? It is in the Outer Rim.
Yeah, but like it's the planets surrounding it were all Empire planets. They were all like,
well, at the time. Everything was gonna, Mandalorian. Everything was Empire. I'm sorry.
No, but like the presence, like towards the end of the movies, I believe Tatooine's not too far away from Mandalorian. Am I wrong on that?
Hold on. Sorry. What do you mean by Empire?
By the end of the original trilogy, like I'm pretty sure isn't Endor and Tatooine, aren't those planets near where Mandalore is? I'm just trying to think.
No, they're on the same side. Like if you cut
the they're in the map, Outer Rim, but
Mandalore is like one of the closest. You know how the Outer Rim's not like a perfect circle?
Yeah, look at this. Because
Mandalore's in the top right. It's like kind of near Kashyyyk. It's near Yavin. It's well inside of like Felucia and Moriban. Tatooine's down like in the bottom right by like Geonosis and stuff. I guess we don't have a super good look. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I do know that we don't have any concrete evidence of where the individual cells of Empire were, right? After their fall. So like Yavin, they're not there, right? Like, cause that's still a base that they use. Kashyyyk, they take back in the Aftermath series, so that's before this. Tatooine obviously isn't under control of the Empire. Obviously Navarro is in the middle of it, but so there's going to be different, in other words, there were different factions at this point, and they can make up whatever faction they want. So yeah, I guess there could be a faction holding Mandalore. We don't really have evidence for or against it. We know it's Outer Rim, and we know the New Republic is spreading and trying to get into the Outer Rim, but we know they're not there consistently. So Mandalore very well could be completely vacant, or it could be completely owned by an Empire, a faction of the Empire. So I guess we'll find out.
That would make logical sense if that whole area was, you know, still Empire territory, I guess. Like the remnants of the Empire were still in that sector of the Outer Rim. It would make sense from a plot standpoint in terms of trying to take back Mandalore. I mean,
oh, from the plot, yeah. In terms of galactic stuff going on, they could be anywhere. I don't know. You would have to have a reason to take, and if they ruined Mandalore, maybe the New Republic's not interested in it. So they were interested in Kashyyyk because obviously they had a vested interest in Wookiees, and that's why they ended up there, because of Han Solo. If there's no vested interest in Mandalore, then technically I guess there could be a section of Empire there, because the New Republic's like, fuck it, they ruined the planet, nobody's there, but why are we going to take it? You know what I mean?
But also look at from Clone Wars too, like the Mandalore wasn't part of
the Republic.
Why am I trying to play? They weren't part of the Republic. They were like neutral in the war. They weren't really part of all that deal. So you have the remnants of the Republic. Like you still have people that probably lived through that. Leia and all that. Like I'm just saying in general.
Right. Leia, well, they fell to the Empire.
Right. But what I'm saying is Mandalore probably is going to be one of the last places you're going to look at. If you're looking at from a New Republic standpoint, they're probably thinking, all right, let's get the core worlds figured out and then let's work our way out.
At this point, so, certainly. Maybe if they were, especially if the planet's ruined, like Din and Bo kind of like made it sound like. If the planet's ruined and there's no, and Mandalorians are scattered, then yeah, I guess there's no reason for them to go there. If Mandalorians still had a people, I think there's a reason to go there because you could gain some allies. You know what I mean? But yeah, if they're decimated and nobody's there.
But their history though, too, that's the other thing. So if they were like, all right, let's go to Mandalore. It's like, wait a second. But they're always kind of like, they always do their own thing. They have their own.
Well, but it doesn't matter. They're wiped out. So that's not even on the table. They're not.
I'm just saying the kind of the perception it would make sense to me if they were just like, yeah, you know what, Mandalore, we'll get there, but we're not going to get there right away. We're going
to, if they were still around, I agree. Well, either way, it's the same topic.
Yeah.
They're wiped out, or even if they were still there, it wouldn't be of great interest because they're typically independent people anyways.
They've always been independent.
So maybe it is a good place for the Empire to be. Or yeah, a faction of the Empire. We should stop calling them the Empire because none of them are like working together. You know what I mean?
Right. But yeah, the remnants,
whatever. Do we know where, not to add another 50 minutes to this conversation, but do we know where Nevarro is? Have we ever got is that close to Mandalore?
I'm trying to find it on the map.
Because obviously Gideon is around, well, maybe he's not around. He's got a base on Nevarro. Most of the Imperial remnant that were described in the books and stuff had like systems or sectors that they controlled. So I find it weird if Gideon's not in control near Nevarro to have his whole base there, like his whole research base there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe he purposely puts it in a place that's far away from him and he does own it. In other words, my point is, he has that research base on Nevarro, right?
Yep.
I don't know why it's not. He didn't build that research base just for the data he got from the Baby Yoda, right? Like, so it's obviously was there. So he has that, but it would make more sense, especially in the story terms, if he's controlling like the sector of Mandalore. Almost like I started to wonder the other day too, is if this whole purge and everything happened like after or in coordination with Return of the Jedi, where like he didn't do it in the middle of like the Empire's height. He did it after like the Emperor died and the Empire was falling. He was like, fuck it, I'm taking out Mandalore. You know what I mean? And took his whole remnant that he controlled and just went, I'm taking over Mandalore. And he wiped them out. You know what I mean?
All right, where the hell is Tatooine? That's
in the bottom right. Like, unfortunately, right now, the official map that's been recanonized, right, like the one that is official now, doesn't have like a shitload of planets. It has or 30. Like it has Starkiller Base. It has Jakku, Takodana. Like
Smuggler's Run is on it.
Oh, the official one I'm looking at doesn't have any of the highways or anything.
I'm looking at let's see. It's like I can move it around and stuff. I can get a closer look. So that's what I'm.
Yeah, that's probably not the official. There's literally only one that's been reofficialized. It was in one of those books, and it really doesn't have much, unfortunately. It doesn't have any of the Hydean Way or the trade routes or anything. It literally just has like core colonies, inner rim, expansion rim, western reaches, unknown regions, outer rim. And then it probably has like 20 or 30 planets on it. I've seen a million other ones. They've been relatively consistent. Like Tatooine is basically stayed in the same area. But to the point, does yours have Nevarro? I don't even know if one exists that has Nevarro.
But I'm looking around Tatooine because it would make sense that it'd be closer to there because, you know, everything friggin'.
He keeps going back to Tatooine, yeah.
Yeah,
it
would make
sense, yeah. It could be.
Where are some other plants?
Geonosis is near there.
Well, name some other plants in the show. Because I don't remember off the top of my head. There's
none of them are going to be on Matt. Because every time they name one, everybody's like, oh, it's a brand new planet. Like, none of them have been. Arvala 7 was where Queel was from. What was the planet? Kor Ibin was the gas giant. Trask. None of those are on maps.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, what they'll do is that book coming out, I think in May, that's like a visual dictionary for the Mandalorian. I bet it'll have a map. And then we'll update all the maps and go from there. So, because almost every planet they've used other than Tatooine has been a brand new planet.
Yeah, because I mean.
And we still don't. And some of them don't have tags, right? Because we don't even. We don't even have, like, the planet that he met Gorr Qresh on. Like, we don't know what planet that was. We didn't get a tag. We didn't get a fly-in. So there's even some of those that we don't even know where they are. We don't technically know the name of that ice planet. I think somebody may have pulled the Aurebesh off his planet thing when he went there. But I forget if they came up with a name. Oh, Sorgon's another one. I don't think that's on any maps.
I thought I just saw it. Hold on.
Maybe. It was in the Poe Dameron book. They've used it a couple times now. If Sorgon's on a map, then Arvala 7 and Navarro should be, but I don't think any of them are. I guess there's a chance that Sorgon was a Legends planet. I don't think so, but...
Yeah, I'm not...
You can just search it on Wikipedia. They'll pull it up if there's anything.
All right, let's see. Star Wars.
Anyways,
Navarro.
This is probably boring for a podcast, but... Yeah,
no,
the point being is that Mandalore is in the Outer Rim, so there definitely could be an Imperial faction there, and that would make sense. And it would make sense if it was Gideon, you know? That would make sense to the plot of The Mandalorian, right?
Right.
Because he seems like he's kind of intimately involved with their destruction, so.
Yeah. Crap, it said Navarro was on this one, and in there it's not, so. But okay, I'll give up on
Outer Rim territories. For Sorgon. Yeah, most of them are just going to say Outer Rim for now.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, I'm not seeing. Yeah, we're not going to see it.
Most of them are going to say like this, like only inhabitable object in a star system situated deep within the Outer Rim. And then they'll put them on the map later and make sense of it. So
there's Kestrel, but I think that's a little too far up. I think that's Bothian space. Yeah, I don't know.
It would make sense if Navarro is somewhere between Tatooine and Mandalore, and that's kind of the section of space that we're taking up. You know what I mean? That whole right side in the Outer Rim. And you just add planets in. It's near Hutt space.
Yep, Hutt space is kind of in between that.
Yep. And we know that's in turmoil, so.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll just... leave it for another day. Hopefully they come out with a map.
We'll come up with some stuff and we'll be able to pinpoint it. But for now, yeah.
Oh, wait, what's this? Nope. Okay, never mind. All right. I got to just turn this off because it's just, I'm going to keep looking at where these planets are. But
yeah.
Okay.
All right. So anything else?
Wow. I guess overall reaction to the... to the episode, theory wise, you know, we kind of covered that. Overall reactions, I thought it was the third best episode of the season. You thought it was second best, so
yeah, second we'll third. Just leave it at that. Right in that range, yep.
Yeah, hoping that they kind of dive into they keep pushing the needle on the plot more rather than doing a you know, here's another job kind of an episode deal. So, and then. You know, we kind of covered the theory craft and stuff, so I don't have any other comments, I guess, at this point. So, I don't know. I guess that's good on my end. So
yeah.
All right. I guess we'll conclude this episode then. Thank you all for joining us for another episode, and you can catch us on YouTube. At the Padawans. We're also on Instagram at the Padawans. It's pretty much the only social media that we use. Actually, we have a Twitter too. Ollie, I don't know if you even use that anymore or not.
A little bit. Some posts. I post our videos some of the time and just comment on people's stuff. Yeah.
But we're also on all podcast streaming services, Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Google, Overcast. And you can catch us on there. Other than that, we'll catch you later, Padawans.
Later.